All right, it is Wednesday evening, March 4th, 2015. How did it already get to be March? Does anyone know where January and February went, really? We are continuing in our study through this, through the 1689 London Baptist Confession. This has been such an enriching study as we've had the privilege to just dive into some of the theology of the Christian faith. And tonight we are going on to chapter 18, which is on the assurance of grace and salvation. The assurance of grace and salvation. Before I get started tonight, I want to go ahead and begin by reading from the book of 1 John. Because that's where we want to start. You know, I don't know how many of you have actually ever done a study through 1 John. I've shared the story with you before of how when I first became a believer in Christ, I was at my very first Wednesday evening supper, having just come to Christ 3 days before. A deacon in the church I was attending came out of nowhere, said he wanted to disciple me. I actually just did that man's funeral just a few weeks ago down in Florida. Praise be to God, he's in the arms of Christ, and he died well. He died finishing the race for Christ. But one of the first things we did when he sat down with me and started to disciple me was to take me through the book of 1 John, because it's a great book. It's very simple, but also very profound. And it is excellent at dealing with the subject of assurance of salvation. I just want you to read the first chapter, or listen to the first chapter, or follow along with me as I read it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, John is writing from a very personal perspective there. And as he begins 1 John, he's literally referring back to the fact that he was someone who spent time with Christ. He wasn't speaking of these things from a distance. These were literally things, as it were, that he handled personally and received personally through being in the very presence of the incarnate Christ. And he goes on through this little epistle to just speak of what are the fruits of a true faith and how do we know that we are truly in Christ. And like with all of Scripture, he points out the fact that we are to measure ourselves against Scripture itself. This is God's guide to life, and this is how we evaluate ourselves. This is the mirror to our souls, if you will, that we hold ourselves up to understand who we are, to understand our sin and how we are to deal with it, and also to understand how we are to put on the new man and grow in righteousness. And so that's a very apt starting point for where we come tonight in talking about the assurance of salvation. So with that, let me go ahead, and we're going to hopefully cover the first two paragraphs. Tonight we will cover the first two paragraphs. Tonight's lesson is just slightly shorter, but it wasn't so short that I could cover all of it in one night. And so we're going to look at the first two paragraphs this evening. Go ahead and follow along with me in the first paragraph there. Although temporary believers and other unregenerate men may vainly deceive themselves with false hopes and carnal presumptions of being in the favor of God and state of salvation, which hope of theirs shall perish, yet such as truly believe in the Lord Jesus and love him in sincerity, endeavoring to walk in all good conscience before him, may in this life be certainly assured that they are in the state of grace, and may rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, which hope shall never make them ashamed. There's a lot there, but we are going to walk through this and understand exactly what this is setting forth in terms of us evaluating and weighing our own hearts and understanding just the biblical teaching on assurance of salvation. Now, before I jump into this, when we talk about assurance, what does that word assurance mean when we talk about assurance of salvation? All right. Does any religion in the world besides Christianity offer the same level of assurance that Christianity does? Okay. And there's so many unique things about Christianity, but this is one of them. Every other religion in the world does not offer the level of assurance that we have in Christ, because every other religion in the world is based on human works to some degree or another. Even our homegrown cults that we have in the United States, like Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and that, even those are based on human effort. Some would argue Islam, but really in the normal practice of Islam, you don't have assurance of salvation. There's only one way to have assurance of salvation in Islam, and that is to die in jihad. That's why so many people are willing to be suicide bombers. They pray in Muslim circles. They prey upon people who have sinned greatly in the eyes of Allah, who think that they are disregarded by Allah because of their sin. And they convince them. They say, no, you know, if you put on this explosive vest and walk into a crowd of people and kill a bunch of people and go out that way killing infidels, then you will most certainly be saved. And so that's how they get people to do that type of thing. They prey upon people who don't have that assurance. And so there is no other faith in the world that offers the kind of certainty of salvation that we have in Christ, because every other faith, every other religion is based on human effort. The Christian faith is based solely on the effort of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is because of what He has done, not what we have done. Now, we want to balance that and say, as believers in Christ, however, we will bear good works. We will bear the fruit of our salvation. But as you've heard me say many times before, and you will hear me say many times again, in Christianity, our works are the fruit of our salvation. They are not the root of our salvation. And that's how we keep that distinction. And so basically, as we pick up here with this first paragraph, we right off the bat, we have something that kind of strikes us, because it says temporary believers.